Hey guys, welcome back to Roundtable Rundown. My name is Will Mallory. I am here with Alex Hyman.
Hey guys.
And today we're going to talk about some of the things that have been going on in the recent world of sports, including the World Series right now between the Dodgers and the Red Sox, the NFL, and in particular, the woes of the New York Giants.
Oh, so sad.
And
so terrible.
Then we're going to talk about the NBA, although I'm sure many of you have seen a lot of Instagram posts about LeBron, but why not add a little
bit
more?
We'll give you our take on LeBron and his new look Lakers.
And then finally, to close off the show, we are going to talk a little bit about HW Sports as they finish the fall season and start the winter season. So, Alex, as we start the World Series,
yes, sir.
Dodgers last night just lost their second game, down 2-0 to Boston.
Yes.
But now it's coming back to L.A. What do you think that the Dodgers have to do in order to regain that control? Because they got to win. All three of these got to be considered must wins.
Absolutely. For those of you who don't know, the Dodgers and the Boston Red Sox are currently playing in the World Series, and the Boston Red Sox are up 2-0 on the Dodgers as the series heads back to Southern California. The Boston Red Sox have pretty much dominated the Dodgers bullpen and the Dodgers hitters as their pitching has been unbelievable. Chris Sale has been spot on. David Price had his best start in the postseason pretty much his entire career last night. And these Dodgers hitters have not adjusted well to the Boston cold, the Boston weather, and that green monster. So the keys for the Dodgers, at least I believe, as we come back to Dodger Stadium and Chavez Ravine, is we got to put our guys back in the lineup. It's nice to do what Doc Roberts has done and to go matchup, but put our best guys in there every single day, that being Max Muncy, that being Cody Bellinger. These guys, I mean, Max Muncy had 35 home runs this season. Cody Bellinger was the NLCS MVP. I mean, how can these guys not be playing every single day?
Yeah, I mean, I agree, but I think that's also goes without saying too. I think they're definitely down the stretch are going to put in their best players.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more concerned about the pitching, just because now I think there's rumors, and it probably will happen, that Kershaw is going to pitch Game 4 instead of normally waiting him to go down the line. And this is the big issue because Kershaw has all this pressure on him now. One,
right.
You can't use him later. Two, he's pitching on short rest. So he's obviously not going to pitch as well. And this is what happens every single time. Kershaw gets humiliated and mocked for not being a good playoff pitcher. And then it's all just one big cycle. And so this is why the Dodgers had to step up early on. But that being said, I don't think that it's a huge issue of worry at the moment, because going into Boston and being the top team in baseball is no easy feat. So,
absolutely.
I think they put up a good fight, especially in Game 1, to maybe stage a comeback there. But right now they got to be going right from the get go. They got to be playing hard, because we talked about the Dodgers a little bit last year. The Dodgers one of their strongest aspects of them are the bats, and they've been able to hit hard all this time. And so, I mean, it was confusing why they couldn't get a little bit more over the green monster, because it is such a short field. But I do think that they need to channel the home crowd and the energy, and they know this is a must win. It's just going to be whether you can beat the baseball team or beat the best team in baseball or not.
Listen, and we knew it would be tough going into Fenway, going into that hostile Boston crowd, into that 40-degree weather, which most of the guys in the Dodgers have never played in before. And, the Red Sox were the best team in baseball for a reason. Their bats are unbelievable. Their arms are unbelievable. All three of their outfielders were nominated today for a Gold Glove Award.
Yeah.
I mean, their outfield is unbelievable. And they have the two best hitters in baseball in J.D. Martinez and Mookie Betts, both possible ALCS MVP candidates, Mookie Betts most likely being the AL MVP for the year, excuse me. We knew it would be difficult going into Boston. But now, hopefully, we have Walker Buehler going tomorrow. He's on the hill for the game. Hopefully, the Dodgers can bring back some of that swag. Yasiel Puig can bring that swag, bring that energy back to Chavez Ravine. Hopefully, the fans can come and emphasize that team, emphasize the importance of winning tomorrow's game. Because, honestly, if we don't win tomorrow's game, the series is over. I'm sorry, but
yeah.
It is.
It'll be interesting to see how all this plays out, because you know, this podcast is going to be out after all of this happens. Right. So we have no idea what's going to happen. But what we do know
it'll
is that
after
these next
games 3 and 4.
Exactly. That these next games are really important. So if the Dodgers can't really jump back on that horse, then they're screwed for this one, in other words.
I guess we'll have to come back next week and see how our predictions
exactly,
went.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know. What do you think is going to happen? I am a Dodgers fan, obviously, and it's been really fun. Mm-hmm. And I've by no means am I giving up now. I think that the Red Sox are the best team in baseball.
I agree.
And I think it's going to be really hard going down 2-0 to win 3 straight games, then win 1 in Boston.
Listen, you know, I think we get this win with Walker Buehler tomorrow night. His stuff is electric. He's an unbelievable pitcher. If he can find that strike zone with a 99-mile-an-hour fastball, he's incredibly hard to hit. And especially at home, it's going to be really, really hard for him. I really hope we don't pitch Kershaw game 4 and we go Rich Hill. Yeah. One, because he was a Boston native, so he can get a little bit of revenge on his hometown Red Sox. And also because that means that we won game 3 and that we're preparing for game 5. So I think we win game 3. Game 4 will be a little bit of a toss-up. We'll see how good Rich Hill goes. If his curveball is on, he's incredibly hard to hit. But the Red Sox are no joke, man. We'll just have to go see.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be fun to watch, but I think it's one of those things where you're either good enough or you're not. It's
exactly.
It's,
so we'll just
you got to play your heart out, and at this point, you know the Red Sox are going to do the same.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, we hope that's what the Dodgers are praying at this point. But
yeah. All right, so moving on to the NFL, another team in Los Angeles has been unbelievable so far throughout the NFL season. 7-0 are the Los Angeles Rams, but I'm going to have to do a hot take real fast and say they're not the best team in the NFL.
Wow. Wow. Okay. I mean, I know where you're coming from. I think it's easy to think that, oh, the young talent is not something that can maybe hold up against some of the best teams. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to disagree with you there. I think they are the best team in football.
Okay, so if you're going to do some power rankings right now, who are the 5 best teams in the NFL?
All right, so this is for me. This is what it is right now.
Yeah,
I think the Rams are the best, mm-hmm. followed by the Patriots. Unfortunately,
really,
yep.
Okay,
followed by the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'd have to go with the Saints,
mm-hmm.
and maybe to close out the top 5, I'm trying to think who's like in the mix, kind of. Maybe
let's see.
I mean, honestly,
you
I could.
Go, you can go the, anyone in the AFC in the NFC South is absolutely like the pink of the Panthers.
That's right. That's right.
Go.
I mean, I honestly
the Eagles maybe.
I kind of want to put the Chargers there. It's very
I
strange.
I agree with that actually.
I think they're a good team and they had some tough losses earlier. That being said, their wins are not necessarily the strongest.
Mm-hmm.
They have played pretty much cupcake teams the rest of
right.
this time.
I agree.
But they're playing good football at the same time. So maybe not. I'd have to do a little bit more research on that. But right. I think the top 4 for me is definitely that you know, the Rams, Patriots,
mm-hmm.
Chiefs, who are the top 3 for sure. And then the Saints exactly. are like a little bit. But that top tier is those 3 teams. And, I mean, I don't really see how any other team can come close.
Listen,
to
you know, I think that for me, the Saints are 4, like you.
Okay.
The Patriots are number 3.
Okay.
The Rams are 2, and the Chiefs are number 1.
Wow. Even after Brady beat the
Even after Brady beat them. You know, Patrick Mahomes, that was his first time really playing Tom Brady. Really playing that type of talented team, that type of championship mentality team. And he looked unbelievable. I mean, what is it? 6 straight games with 300 yards
oh my
passing.
God.
Most touchdowns ever thrown by a rookie through 8 weeks. I mean, this team is no joke. And with the defense losing so many players right now to injury, like Justin Houston and some more key guys in the secondary, once those guys come back, this team is not going to be an easy out in the playoffs.
Oh,
and
for
in
sure.
And they could be easily there in February with, I hope, the Los Angeles Rams. So
for sure. I think they're definitely up there. And I will be the first to tell you, I was a huge, huge hater and doubter of Patrick Mahomes.
Listen, I was too. I thought he would be nowhere, and he's totally
exactly.
proven me wrong.
He's quite an athlete. I think a lot of it has to do with his weapons and Andy Reid's offense. But that being said, there's nothing taken away from him. He is a spectacular player.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure if I'm ready to put their defenses right now. It's kind of like Swiss cheese. I mean, there's
right.
people can get right through them. And just watch the Broncos. We're going to be looking back at this. I'll be like, I knew it. Broncos are going to beat them this weekend, but I'm maybe a little biased. But
We'll see.
But we'll see about that one.
So there's been some big news going around the NFL. The trade deadline is coming up. A lot of moving pieces. Amari Cooper to the Cowboys for a first-round pick. We'll talk a little bit about that later. maybe some quarterbacks in the move. None have moved yet. We'll see how that goes. But as you all know by now, I am a huge Giants fan, and we have just admitted that we are going into a massive full-scale rebuild by shipping away basically one young prospect in Eli Apple, a first-round pick, and Damon Harrison, an all-pro defensive tackle, for a bag of chips. Honestly, we got nothing back for both of them. A fifth-round pick and a fourth and a seventh.
Look,
for two unbelievable players. Well, Eli Apple, not so unbelievable, but a first-round pick nonetheless.
So I think that I was a little confused by the Eli Apple, obviously. I think that it was not a smart trade in terms of what they've got. But that being said, he apparently had some locker room issues, and there may have been some underlying things.
Mm-hmm.
Damon Harrison, I have no idea what in the world they were doing.
I am so heated at all.
That might have been
this,
the dumbest thing
understand.
I've ever seen. For a fifth-round pick, you give away the guy who has been the only one holding your defense together,
mm-hmm.
the only
mm-hmm.
one who could stop the run. There's a reason that the Giants had a top-rushing defense. It's because he clogs all of the holes up front. And so without him, I don't understand. Maybe it was a contract thing. Maybe there was some other reason for it, but the Giants, I mean, are you kidding me? Like,
listen,
that was just dumb.
Listen, I get it. He's 30 years old. He's owed a lot of money. But this guy is an all-pro for a reason. He is one of the best players in the league. And to only get back a fifth-round pick for him, that's a joke. I mean, I agree that we need to do a rebuild. I'm fine with them shipping out players in general. I'm fine that they shipped out Damon Harrison. But to only get back a fifth-round pick, that is unbelievable. Not a good job by David Gettleman. They're obviously going into tanking mode right now, and their hope is to get a first-round quarterback, get the number one overall pick to get a quarterback like Justin Herbert, who just said he might not even come out of college this year.
Right.
So you have to go back and wonder what were they doing picking Saquon Barkley in a draft class that was so loaded with talented quarterbacks.
See, that's the one side where I will disagree with you there. I think that Eli, actually, after last season, like, there's no reason you shouldn't be 100% confident in Eli after last season. Now it's a completely different story.
Actually, I
think that from a general manager's perspective, there are 32 starting quarterbacks in the league, and
mm-hmm.
Eli is probably one of the best in decision-making. In athletic ability, maybe he was on the decline.
Decision-making. Did you see two attempted QB sneaks?
Look, QB sneaks. That was clock management by Gettleman. I mean, not Gettleman. Excuse me, Shermer.
QB sneaks actually aren't called by Shermer, and they're actually called by the quarterback themselves.
Look,
so I've heard.
That was one play, and that's this season anyway. I'm talking about after last season.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it was. You know, that Eli's been in the league for, what, 15 years now?
Right.
You know that he's capable. He knows how to read defenses. He knows how to make the throws. And you've seen him do it. He's led you to two Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, his athletic ability is maybe on the decline.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean in any means that he's not, like, a starting quarterback. Yes, maybe he's not the top 20. Maybe he's not the at some point you have to wonder where, like, he falls into the quarterback rankings. But after last season, I completely agree with Gettleman and keeping him as a starting quarterback,
mm-hmm.
and Shermer and having full confidence in him. Now it's a whole different story. I think that I think that he's getting old, and I'm worried that his mobility is so poor that, like, and you know, that offensive line is also a mess. And
mm-hmm.
so with all those ad combined, he's really just not fit to be a starting quarterback on that team. And
right.
so it's in this weird position now where they have to, even with all the stars that they have, to just tank, kind of, and that's what they're kind of doing.
Right. Well, let's see what happens with the rest of the league now, because it looks like we actually have a couple of teams tanking this year, with the Raiders tanking, with the Giants tanking. So let's see what happens with the race to the bottom. So
exactly. I mean, I never like talking about tanking, because I don't think it's something that they're actually doing, and I still don't think.
Oh, I think it's something that Gruden is actively doing in Oakland.
Okay, can we talk about that for Gruden for a little bit? Like,
I don't know
how I feel about him. I don't think we've talked about this here, because we haven't really. This is like our first podcast, like, official one that we've done, but I thought the Khalil Mack trade was one of the dumbest things that he has ever done. I don't care if it was a first-round pick. I don't care about, like, you know, all of the benefits that may come in the young prospects. Like, that guy's a top NFL pass rusher at only, like, 26 years old.
He is an unbelievable talent.
I have no idea. Even if he didn't want to do it, like, even if, like, there's no way you couldn't have found some money in some case, or or just even sign him, because, like, that trade was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen.
I totally agree.
The Bears are kind of good, so the draft pick is going to be kind of high. And
I totally agree.
It won't be as low as they'd like it. And so It just really wasn't a great trade, in my opinion. That being said, I thought this Amari Cooper trade was the one thing that Gruden has done to save
for them to get a first
smart.
Round pick out of him. That is unbelievable.
Yeah, I think it's really smart because you've got Amari Cooper was not helping you for at all. Like, and
right.
he hasn't been doing anything.
He hasn't even been producing as a number one receiver.
And I think he is a great receiver, but he clearly was not fit for the system
exactly.
or fit for like, and he wasn't going to thrive in Oakland, and we knew that. So I think to get a first round pick from the Cowboys, who aren't that good anyway,
mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it'll be a mid pick. Now they've got three first round picks, and now all of a sudden
right.
it's like
right.
maybe you've got a future. But at the same time, I would not be praising Gruden right now. I'm just saying that one move was good. Otherwise, he's done a terrible job. The Raiders were supposed to be good teams,
right.
and now they're not.
You know, listen, I would always take the proven talent over
exactly.
the draft picks because you just don't know what they're going to turn into.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen this multiple times. I mean, Colton Miller, who the Raiders just took, who was John Gruden's first-round draft pick, hasn't been producing that great.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't even know what kind of talent he's going to get out of these first-round picks. And you've heard it multiple times, millions of times. Great pass rushers, do not grow on trees.
Yep, so hard
and
to find.
Talents like Khalil Mack do not come around. They are generational talents. You cannot let that go. But, yeah, we'll just have to see what happens. And
yep.
Yeah,
I think
it's going to be interesting.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens. The trade deadline coming up. I'm not exactly sure what day it is, but it's definitely in the next week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And one last thing before we move on to NBA, I wanted to play a little game I call Pretenders or Contenders.
All right.
So I'm going to give you an NFL team. You got to tell me if they are a pretender or a contender for this year's playoffs
mm-hmm.
and whatnot in the future. So I'll start with the Baltimore Ravens, pretenders or contenders?
You know, I'm going to have to switch it up on Will here. I said they're a pretender earlier, but for me, they are a contender.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because Joe Flacco always has his best years whenever his back is against the wall. He has Lamar Jackson behind him. He knows that if he makes any mistake, any little move, that Baltimore fan base is going to be on his back. Calling for Lamar Jackson, calling for that first-round pick. So I have faith in John Harbaugh.
Yep, John.
And
<right one. laughs>
I have faith in Ozzie Newsome, the GM. I have faith in Flacco, as much as I hate to admit it. And I have faith in that Baltimore defense. That
yep.
defense is definitely no joke. So
I think
they will make a push.
I'm going to have to agree with you here. I think that they are contenders. It's one of those where you're – it's kind of confusing because you don't really know like what's going on because there's no star player. There really isn't one guy who stands
mm-hmm.
out, but they really work as a unit, and that defense is so strong, and you can see it's just been really well coached. And I do think Joe Flacco has really stepped it up this year. So I'm going to say they're contenders as well. Also, let's see. What about Washington Redskins? What do you think about them?
Oh, absolutely a pretender.
Really?
You cannot have – Alex Smith is a decent quarterback. He gets the job done, but he never has produced in the playoffs. That's not going to change, especially with Jay Gruden as the head coach. The Redskins are such a dysfunctional organization, and it all starts at the top with their owner in – what's his name? Dan Snyder.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably the worst owner in the league. And, yeah, I mean, they're 4-2 right now. That's a joke. The Redskins are not going to do well at all. The entire NFC East will not perform well in the playoffs. Maybe the Eagles make a little push, but I think they are completely a pretender.
Look, I'm gonna ultimately say they're a pretender as well, but I think it's definitely less too extreme. I think that this team is actually better than you would think because Adrian Peterson has produced like that guy is still good. I
mm-hmm.
can't believe I'm saying it, but he's still playing really well. And so I've been impressed with him. Once you get the rushing game going, they can stop the rush as well. On defense, they've been a lot stronger than you would have expected. The one thing is Alex Smith, and I think he gets the job done. As we know, he's that conservative quarterback who really doesn't do anything special, but he
mm-hmm.
can put the ball where you need it, and he doesn't turn the ball over at all.
Right.
But he really isn't that type of spark player that you need on a team like the Washington Redskins to put them over the top.
I agree.
And so I also think they're a pretender.
Okay, I have one last one for you, and that is the LA Chargers.
The Chargers. I'm going to say contender for sure. I mean, like, I think that the Chargers are stacked. And if you look at the lineup, they've got everyone on defense from Joey Bosa, who's coming back soon,
mm-hmm.
To Melvin Ingram. And then on offensive side of the ball, Melvin Gordon is unbelievable. And Phillip Rivers can still get the job done.
Absolutely.
He's
unlike his draft classmate, Eli Manning.
exactly. Philip Rivers can still get the job done, and you've got Keenan Allen, and I think it's, what is it? Is it Williams?
That's Mike Williams. Yeah,
he's stepping up too. So, I mean, the Chargers are, watch out for them. They're coming in hot right now.
I agree.
I think that's
and their remaining schedule really is not that hard. They have the Seahawks, Raiders, Broncos, Cardinals, Steelers, and Chiefs. That's gonna be a little tough, and Ravens, but they should definitely get into the playoffs. Yeah. And I think they're going to cause someone trouble.
Yeah, one last one that I'm actually just popped in my head. I wasn't planning on doing this, but the one last one I have to ask is Green Bay Packers. What do you think?
You know, Aaron Rodgers is always – he's the best quarterback in the league, obviously. He is a spark plug for anyone. He always gives you a chance. But that being said, I think they are pretenders. He really has no help on offense besides Davante Adams. That defense does not look good at all. They have so many holes, it's unbelievable. And I think that they're pretenders. I don't see them jumping the Vikings to win the NFC North or get into the wild card race.
You know, I'm gonna disagree with you there. I think the Packers are contenders, and solely because of Aaron Rodgers. I think that
he always gives you a chance.
He always gives you a chance, and that guy can do anything. And so he really is a great playmaker on that side of the football. But I also do think that they've been well coached by McCarthy, obviously. Mm-hmm. And Davante Adams is truly also a really good playmaker. And then on they also, you know, they work in Geronimo Allison. Jimmy Graham's been playing well. Mm-hmm. And that defense, I know, has been great, but they've definitely held their own. Their secondary has gotten better, at least we can say that.
Right.
And maybe they do have a shot, and I think that they do, especially with that division, because that division is so good, but it's also so up in the air. Like, the Detroit Lions could even win it. The Bears could win it. The
right.
Vikings could win it. Like, no one knows what's going to happen in the division. So it's going to be and I want to bet with Aaron Rodgers and the best quarterback in the league when that situation arises.
That's a good point. All right. So now I think we should move on a little bit to LeBron just for about one quick second. I mean, we're all Lakers fans here.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're all Lakers fans here. LeBron obviously did not get off to a hot start. The Lakers went 0-3 and at LeBron's first three games. They got their first win last night against we can call them generously rebuilding Phoenix Suns team. Predictions for LeBron this year. Oh, and by the way, the Cleveland Cavaliers have gone 0-4 in LeBron's absence.
Yeah, well,
does that prove that LeBron should have been the MVP last year? I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I'm not gonna talk about like what should have happened, what not have. I already made it clear that I think that LeBron in one of our last year's episodes that LeBron should have won MVP. Just because he really is the guy who it all centers around, and there was no doubt that the Cavaliers were going to be bad this year. Like, it was just and. I'm not really surprised that they started 0-4. I was surprised the Lakers starting 0-3, but I'm not worried at all. I think that like this team is just figuring it out, as LeBron said himself. Like, mm-hmm. it takes a while for this chemistry to form, and they've got so many young guys. And I think that finally against the Suns, they put in a whole different starting lineup. Lance Stephenson got a lot of play time.
Lonzo Ball looked good last night.
Exactly. They're all. It's going to take some time, but it's all going to come together. And I really, really do think the Lakers are a huge threat in the playoffs. Compared to people think they're like up there, maybe like because LeBron. I actually think they're like huge contenders this year because just having LeBron, but then also that young talent. You saw what LeBron did with no talent last year, and now he's doing it with all this talent around him. So it will take a while to figure out all this chemistry, but it'll come. He's gonna take him far.
I totally agree. You know, I think LeBron is the MVP every year. He is the most valuable player on any team. I can go as far as say in any sport. I mean, because basketball is so dependent on the individual and in the five guys who are on the floor. He is just that valuable to a team. Now, these guys are very young. It's going to take a little while to mesh with LeBron's playing style because LeBron is his own system. You know, some guys like Kevin Durant can fit into a system, can fit into it and thrive. LeBron James is the system.
Yeah.
LeBron James is the Los Angeles Lakers. So it's going to take a little bit of time. But more on JaVale McGee and Lonzo Ball, I am so surprised by how well they are playing. Like, Lonzo he's been one of the best players so far from his draft class this year so far. And my guy, JaVale McGee, I love him so much. He's been such a defensive presence.
It's true.
And he, basically the fast break, the Lakers are number one in getting out and running the floor so far this year. Mm-hmm. Granted, it's been only four games so far. But JaVale McGee has been the linchpin of that, getting blocks, getting offensive rebounds. His presence in the middle starts that Lakers push, so to speak.
You're exactly right. I mean, I think that he's been huge, and that finally getting a center that can really be physical in the paint is something that the Lakers needed. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw out one of the biggest, bold predictions you've ever heard.
Go for it.
And I'm hoping that none of anyone listening will count me on this, because it's probably not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But this is connecting all the sports. I think that I think there's a possibility, and maybe I'll just say I think, because that gives it more credibility when it does mm-hmm. happen. I think that all three major sports are going to be L.A. versus Boston. Right now you've seen L.A.
Really?
Dodgers versus the Boston Red Sox. That's one happening. Mm-hmm. I think that the L.A. Rams versus the New England Patriots is definitely
wow.
something that could happen.
Wow.
And I think that the Lakers versus the Boston Celtics is also something that
could
happen.
That would be unbelievable.
So I'm going to call that right here. Just make it just come back to this episode.
Where's
when
the
it does
animation
happen.
Going, like,
and hopefully this podcast blows up.
Hot take.
We'll see. That's my bold prediction at the moment.
I love it. Starting the year off right. So Harvard Westlake so far has gone through the, what are we in right now? The winter season?
It's like in the middle.
Some of them are finishing up.
And some of them are starting their winter season.
Field hockey is currently undefeated, as they always are. Our girls' field hockey team is no joke. Mm-hmm. We are unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And tonight is actually senior night, so hopefully they can finish it off with their last win at home.
Do it right.
And
go get another ring.
Another undefeated season, which would be, I mean, that team is just so strong.
So dominant.
And you could see they're so close with each other. It's been really fun to watch. And it's something that's very rare. Like, it's not going to happen often, all these undefeated.
Exactly.
it's something that's history is being made in Harvard Westlake sports.
Yes. Football, I couldn't tell you how football's doing.
they're a little up and down right now. I think they had it overall a good season. I'm not sure if they're done or not yet. But overall they had a pretty good season, up and down. They couldn't get the wins against some of their mm-hmm. the big teams. But that being said, I think there's a lot of young talent, and
for sure.
Sultan Daniels just was unbelievable this
Absolutely.
Season, as always.
With that being said, we're definitely looking forward to the winter season
mm-hmm.
and basketball coming back
with
Johnny Desang, Mason Hooks. The girls' team looks to be very good this year.
We'll see how they adjust, the girls' team, without
their two major seniors from last year.
Yeah, the Rufus Milner sisters. I think
exactly.
It'll be fun to see if they can adjust this season. But, I mean, we're looking forward to it. Harvard Westlake Sports has been doing well in the fall season. Hopefully they can continue that in the winter
mm-hmm.
season. And we'll continue giving you guys updates on that as well.
Absolutely. We'd like to thank you all for listening and tuning into our podcast. And we will see you back here next week.